This is a special election edition of Route 51. The November 6th midterm elections are just over a month away. Voters in the 85th State Assembly District will choose between a first-term incumbent and a political newcomer when they head to the polls. The district office has been held by Republicans since 2015. Prior to that, Democrats had controlled the seat from 1962. The winning candidate this election will represent constituents in the center of Marathon County, and this includes the cities of Wausau and Schofield, the villages of Rothschild, Hatley, and Eldoran, and the towns of Ringle and Norrie. It also includes the Wausau West Business Park and the Aspirus Wausau Hospital campus. I'm Rick Ryer. Today on Route 51, we welcome Republican incumbent Patrick Snyder of Schofield and Democrat challenger Allison Leahy of Wausau. Joining us in the studio is Shireen Seward of the Wausau Pilot and Review. Let's quickly introduce the candidates. Patrick Snyder of Schofield. Representative Snyder is the Republican incumbent for the 85th District. After a successful career as a morning radio talk show host at WSAU in Wausau, he got his start in politics, serving as outreach director for Congressman Sean Duffy in 2012. He was first elected to the State Assembly in 2016 and counts his Foster Forward package addressing Wisconsin's foster care programs as his signature legislation, receiving bipartisan support and Governor Walker's signature last session. Welcome back to Route 51, Pat.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning. Shireen, good morning.
Good morning.
Allison Leahy of Wausau is the Democrat candidate in the race. She was elected to the Marathon County Board of Supervisors this past spring. She's a copywriter with Foot Locker at East Bay. She co-founded Wausau's Makers Market Company, a nonprofit pop-up market that aims to provide space for artists and makers to sell their products. According to her campaign website, she will represent the 85th Assembly District in a way that moves us all forward to a place where economic opportunity, quality education, and affordable health care is accessible to everyone. Welcome to Route 51, Allison.
Thank you so much.
Do you feel heard by your legislators? This is your chance to speak directly to the candidates running for the 85th Assembly seat. What issues are important to you? What connections do you see between local, state, and national politics? Call now at 800-780-9742. Again, that's 800-780-9742. Well, first question this morning will be starting with Pat Snyder.
Okay.
Why should you continue to represent the 85th Assembly District, and why are you running for a second term?
Well, I want to continue the work that I started 2 years ago. And that is to represent the needs of not only the 85th, but the state of Wisconsin. Got a great start. The things I campaigned for in 2016, increased funding for education, health care, as well as the drug epidemic that was going on, all were met in my first term. And with the success of getting things done, working across the aisle with my colleagues, five bills that I was able to author and sign into law in my first term, accomplish that, and I have a lot more that I can do to help this 85th district as well as Wisconsin continue to move forward with great opportunities.
Allison Leahy, why should you represent the 85th Assembly District, and why are you running?
Well, I'm really running because I felt a call to action after the 2016 election. I felt like that was a catalyst in a way that I wasn't expecting, and it's more about my candidate not winning. Something that really hit me after that election was that for the second time in my relatively short life, I watched as the candidate who got the most votes didn't become president. And that really impacted me, and it made me look closer at the Wisconsin that I was living in, a state that's been gerrymandered, a state that has seen voter ID laws meant to keep people away from the polls, a state that has been in gridlock like most of the rest of the country. And I really thought, you know, what can I do? What part can I play in making this a fairer Wisconsin for everyone to live in, to work in, and really represent people in a way that is about them and not party lines and not in a power play, but really what can I do to help the people in my community and around the state? So I'm really running to be a true representative and to listen and to work for others.
Yeah, one of the things I notice is a similarity between the two of you on your campaign websites. You both indicate that improving health care in Wisconsin is a priority for you. I'd like you to name one major step you would take to improve health care in Wisconsin. Allison, this time we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, the first step really is the no-brainer of accepting the health care expansion money that was offered to us from the federal level. By the end of 2019, I believe it will be about $2 billion that we've just turned away for ideological purposes. And I think that's wrong. That's hurting people. That could easily be accepted, worked into our healthcare reform, and that would also loosen up funding, you know, for other areas that we could allocate funding to other areas in the state that need money.
Okay, Allison. Pat, let's hear from you. What major step would you take to improve healthcare in Wisconsin?
Well, one of the things that I part of healthcare, we got more money and allocated in the joint finance and the budget for the TAD, or, you know, treatment and deferral for the Marathon County Drug Treatment Court. I think the drug problem is severe enough that we need to look at not only the addiction and helping these folks get treatment, but also the mental health issue. So I want to continue on that front. The other area, I think we can take a good note from our neighbors in Minnesota. The Democrat governor over a year ago said the Medicaid expansion they took failed, and they had to go to reimbursement, similar to what Governor Walker and the administration just passed here earlier this year. And they have seen decreases in their insurance rates. The U.S. Census Bureau said that employment is up, salaries are up, poverty is down in Wisconsin, and 95% of our citizens are insured. So we need to look at the 5% that aren't and make sure that we do things like the high-risk pool, maybe bring that back again. That was very successful. And also allow small businesses to be able to combine to offer more opportunities for insurance that would be creating lower rates.
Now, this November, voters in Marathon County will be asked to weigh in on whether to allow marijuana for medicinal use. Please explain your position on legalization of marijuana for both medicinal and recreational purposes. And, Pat, you have had experience with this in the legislature already. Mm-hmm. Explain your position on that.
Right. I was on the Children and Families Committee, and we did hear testimony about the CBD oil and what it does for these young boys and girls that are having seizures is incredible. And I'm glad we were able to pass that. When it comes to medical marijuana, first and foremost, I would love to see the federal government reduce it to a Schedule II to allow our universities to be able to get it, research it, and hopefully lead to more FDA-approved drugs from the marijuana. And I've talked with doctors. I've talked with even a couple of our county judges. And I am open to medical marijuana because people are hurting and in need. But I would like to be able to control it like we do now with other narcotic drugs, with pharmacies and the doctor's prescriptions and things of that nature, not kind of follow suit what California did. As far as recreational, you know, when I talk with Melissa Moore and the folks at the AODA, they're very concerned about this. When you look at Colorado and you look at California and some of the increases they've seen, especially from the 12 to 18-year-old children that have an increased use of marijuana now and the traffic violations that have gone up, it's, you know, it'll be another thing like alcohol that we'll have to be able to have the technology to monitor and things to that nature. But I know there's a growing push for it, but medically I am much more open than I would be for recreational at this time.
Allison.
Yes, I agree on many points. I would like to see more research done. You know, I've heard from people in the healthcare professions who say that certainly in regards to younger minds and growing minds, we need to see what the effects really are. So that's a must. You know, we will see, we will see a referendum on the November ballot here in Marathon County asking the folks in these communities what they think about medical marijuana. And I was very happy to be able to vote yes to that referendum earlier this year to really ask the people what they think. You know, I think that's important as well. As we have this conversation with our legislatures, what we should be having with our legislatures is ongoing. And I think it's imperative that we hear from people and what they think about this issue. It was a very wonderful county board meeting. So many engaged citizens that were spirited about this topic, who had testimony about how medical marijuana helped them with the things that they were suffering with, and family members, etc. So I'm excited to see some movement on this issue because I think legalizing medical marijuana could really help a lot of folks in Wisconsin.
I do have a follow-up on that question. It's related to these types of referendums that come before counties and other municipalities, non-binding as they are. What are what's your perspective on how the legislature should look at these, Allison Leahy, and going forward when they come to the legislature?
Sure. Well, I would say that it's one piece of the puzzle. You know, as you're creating policy and voting on things, you're looking at, or you should be looking at, a whole variety of data. And I would call this one piece of that data puzzle. I know it's a non-binding referendum, but I think it's still important to gauge the temperature of a district, to gauge the temperature of a state on a certain topic, and to see how things are shifting, maybe. So, yeah, I know there were people, even that I respect on the county board, that were opposed to this referendum, thinking that it's non-binding, so what does it really mean? But as an elected official, you know, I received countless emails about the topic urging me to please let us speak on this topic. We had so many people at the county board meeting that we had to open up discussion to be longer so people could have their voices heard. So to me, it's one piece of that data puzzle, and I don't want to stifle anyone's voice.
Okay. Pat Snyder, what about when you're in the legislature, you see these referendums come through, what is your take on what the legislature should be doing with them?
Well, it gives us a little bit of a gauge of what the people in the 85th district feel about it. But similar to what Allison mentioned, she said several emails came to her about getting this referendum on. So she heard from them personally. And that's what I like. I like to hear from people personally. It happened in the mining bill that we were having. They came at 135 contacts, be it email, be it phone calls, that talked to me personally on their positions when it came to the mining bill. So that, I think, makes an input. And then those hearing from those folks gives me a better gauge to be able to go to the floor and express what the interest is here. So it's a good barometer to see what the feeling is, but I still like the personal contact.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I've got a related question for you. We know that there are significant disparities in incarceration rates for nonviolent drug offenses between minorities and white offenders. I know that this is a complex issue, but how do you explain that, Allison?
Well, obviously, when we talk about legalizing either medical or just legalizing marijuana in general, yes, this is a moral issue that we're talking about. This is a criminal justice issue. I think it's very important to keep in mind that incarceration rates for people of color are much higher when we talk about drug offenses. And that's wrong. I think they're profiled at higher rates. They don't have the privilege, and they're taken advantage of, I think, in a lot of ways that people who look like me don't have to deal with. So this is a criminal justice issue. And I think as we see across the country, we see other states legalizing both medical and recreational. Just a couple weeks ago, I read an article about Coca-Cola looking into making products using cannabis. We hear talk of large pharmaceutical companies incorporating cannabis into the products that they sell. And I think that now we're putting ourselves in this position where we have so many people incarcerated for something that now people are going to profit off of. People are profiting off of recreational medical marijuana use while other people are locked up for it. And I think that is something that as an elected official, as legislators, as anyone involved in government service really needs to reckon with. This is a huge issue.
It certainly is. Pat, what do you think about the disparity?
Is it for Marathon County or the state? Or
statewide.
Statewide. Mm-hmm. Well, first, I don't know what the percentage is of folks that are incarcerated because of marijuana. I do know that our county and the state of Wisconsin is facing huge problems with heroin and meth. Our jail here in Marathon County can hold 255 inmates. We have over 420. So we are shipping out people to Shawano County, Langlade, even Taylor County, and that's costing our county a lot of money. Now, when it comes to discrepancies, I'll look forward to working with one of my colleagues, and I call a friend as well, and Representative Goyke. I think he was one that was involved up at Lincoln Hills as well. He is a public defender very smart man, and I look forward to working with him on some correctional. I think what we need to do is, you know, when arrests are made, it needs to be – color needs to be taken out of it. It needs to be more the offense. And one thing, too, might be to be able to upgrade here, at least in Marathon County, pay for public defenders, get it up to $70 an hour. I think we're at 40 right now. Mm-hmm. So these individuals have proper representation, and maybe that discrepancy wouldn't be as much, because I know a lot of times the finances aren't there and they might not have the best representation. So we need to equalize that footing as well.
Okay.
Eric from Marshfield is concerned about campaign financing, and he feels that Citizens United should be repealed. As a matter of fact, he says we don't have a real democracy because of that. Pat, what is your thought on that?
Well, the Supreme Court says that, you know, we all disagree and agree with Supreme Court findings, but right now they feel that people's free speech can be put in the form of money. Now, as far as the third parties, I don't have control on that. I don't talk with those folks about that. I'd love to see more transparency when it comes through. But I know in my campaign, I get the bulk of my money from right here in the district. And I think if people feel strongly for me and want to reach the, you know, there's maximum limits that an individual can give, I think that that's their way of saying we support you, we believe in you, and use the money to help get your message out.
Allison.
Yes, it was Eric.
Eric.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for that question. This is something that means a lot to me, and thank you for bringing it to our attention this morning. We need so much campaign finance reform. I do not agree with Citizens United. I think it needs to be repealed. The influx of big, dark money into our democratic system is one of the biggest problems, I think, to our electoral process currently. Being a first-time candidate at this level, you know, this is the first time I've experienced fundraising. And if it wasn't for fundraising, I would have shook the hand of everyone in this district at this point. It's a problem. I wish I didn't have to do it. I understand that there's a certain level you have to reach for advertising purposes, and like Pat said, to get your message out there, and that's important too. But we've gone to the extreme, and we're stifling the voices of the people in exchange for big money. And that is something, if elected, that I would love to work on at the state level, and hopefully in conjunction with the federal government as well.
You're listening to the 85th State Assembly District Candidate Debate on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer with Shireen Seward, two candidates in the November 6th general election. Join us today in the studio, Democrat Allison Leahy of Wausau and Republican incumbent Pat Snyder of Schofield. When we return, we'll discuss the candidates' perspectives on immigration and infrastructure. There's room for your questions as well by calling 800-780-9742. 800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with the two candidates for Wisconsin's 85th State Assembly seat, Republican incumbent Pat Snyder from Schofield and Democrat Allison Leahy of Wausau. The general election is November 6th. I'm Rick Ryer with Shireen Seward of the Wausau Pilot and Review. What concerns you most about your local community, about the state as a whole, and its importance to national politics? Help us move beyond the talking points by calling 800-780-9742. Over the weekend of September 21st, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents in Wisconsin detained 83 individuals. Six of them were in Marathon County. And on the following Monday, 80 Abbeyland Foods employees stayed home from work, some say out of fear. Understanding this is a federal issue, Allison, it has state and local impact. Are ICE raids protecting Wisconsin citizens?
No. You know, as it's often said, we're a country of immigrants. I fully support legal immigration, but I also understand the circumstances under which many people try to come into this country for a better life. And I think that's something we really need to keep in mind as we're creating policy, as we're enacting that policy, and as our local government officials and law enforcement officials are trying to follow that law. You know, one thing that always strikes me in these cases, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to go to work the next day. These people have come here for a better life and they want to work. And something that always strikes me is that, you know, the owners of these businesses and corporations, generally nothing happens to them. So I think when we're talking about this issue, we need to look at all sides. You know, how can we better allow these people to stay where they are, to live and work where they are? And how do we work with local business, and how do we work with local government to make that a possibility? I don't think terror is the way to tackle this problem, and scaring people isn't going to make anything better. So it is a complicated issue, and I look forward to working on it and making this a place where people feel welcome and feel like they can integrate and have a good life here.
Pat.
I talked with Tony Gonzalez, who's with Toward One, about this situation, and he said that ICE came in and it was very specific. Well over half of the people that were apprehended had serious felony crimes. So they, and Tony's told me several times that the community wants those sort of individuals removed. Now, getting back to the situation on the federal government, they got to get something figured out here. The dairy farmers, in fact, we've had 7 straight months of 2.8% unemployment. We need people to work here, and we have willing people that want to work. We need to get the folks legal status. I love the fact that people come in here legally. You know, my father was an executive with the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, and back in the 60s and 70s, they had programs where they were able to contract workers in Mexico to come up and work summer jobs and have the work visas for that situation, and then suddenly it disappeared. I think that we could do something like that again to go down, identify who wants to come up in your work. That's the thing, and once we identify and know who they are, they're here legally, we can advance moving forward to even driver's license and things of that nature. So I think legal status and the folks that are here, just apply for that. Let's get them so they feel comfortable. Because they are hardworking and they are very vital for the economy of the state.
Okay, as a follow-up to that, both Senator Johnson and Congressman Duffy have pushed for a guest worker program, and that would allow migrant workers to stay and work in Wisconsin while at the same time allowing the federal and state governments to better track people here from other countries. Now, Pat, you serve on the Jobs and Economy, Workforce Development, and Children and Families Committees.
Mm-hmm.
So should Wisconsin lawmakers push our congressional delegation to continue to pursue this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is, it gives these families opportunities to be able to come to Wisconsin, which is a tremendous place to raise a family, and be able to give their kids opportunities with our great educational system, and then hopefully stay right here themselves. As they come here with the guest worker program, apply legally if they feel very solid toward this country, they want to be citizens. But there are also individuals that want the economic benefit, that are up here working seasonally but maybe don't want to be citizens. They want to remain Mexican citizens. They send money back to their families, and this gives them the best opportunity. So I do urge them, and I've talked with Congressman Duffy about this very situation, and even working for him, he was pushing for this a long time ago. So, yes, I will urge them to continue.
Thank you. Allison, an economy that works for everyone is a major part of your platform. So where do you stand on these guest worker proposals? What do you think?
Well, it's certainly something I'd have to look into more, as I'm not as familiar with this idea or with this bill. But yes, certainly. I think any way that we can all work together to legally and safely allow people to come as they wish, to stay, to become citizens. Obviously, a path to citizenship should be an option for people who want that. But yes, I would certainly be in favor of allowing the people who want to work, whether seasonally or long term, to have an easier path to do that.
We're talking with Democrat Allison Leahy of Wausau and Pat Snyder, incumbent Republican for the 85th Assembly District seat. You can join the conversation as well. Ask your question. What's important to you? What's important to the state of Wisconsin from your perspective by calling 800-780-9742. Again, that's 800-780-9742. 4-2. We turn now to infrastructure and primarily transportation, huge issue here in Wisconsin. In an official statement at the beginning of this year, Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin Director Craig Thompson said this, in quotes, "The state of transportation in Wisconsin is poor and declining, and there is no plan to reverse the trend," unquote. He asserted Wisconsin reduced the state highway improvement program by almost $250 million in the current budget, marking the lowest investment level in this program since the 2005 and 2007 budget. Last month, WAOW News 9 reported bumpy roads around the Wausau area cost drivers $1,517 per year, according to a report released by TRIP, a national transportation research group. TRIP, in its study, also reported 31% of state roads are in poor condition and 9% of bridges are structurally deficient. Those numbers are worse in the Wausau area, with 51% of roads in poor condition and 10% of the bridges that are structurally deficient, according to the study. Marathon County Board Member John Robinson said, "There's a need for the state to address the issue." Allison Leahy, what should the state do to address the issue, and if elected, how would you work with your legislative colleagues across the aisle and within the Democratic Party to get it done?
Yeah, this is a big issue. I actually hadn't heard that most recent number, the $1,000 that it's costing drivers in the state. This is something that's just ongoing, and it always will be, right? We live in Wisconsin. We have summer. We have winter. Things are going to happen to our infrastructure. What we need is a long-term solution and a sustainable one. I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers for this question, because I certainly do not. And I think the biggest part of this is that when the legislature changes, when we have new voices and new ideas, I think that's when we're going to get that long-term solution to come to the table. I know that candidates and sitting reps have tossed around certain things, gas tax. I've heard about tolls, increasing taxes. I mean, things are being bandied about. I don't know what the perfect solution is. It might be one of those things. It might be a number of those things. It might be none, and we just haven't found it yet. But obviously, this needs to be prioritized in the budget in a way that it certainly hasn't been for the last couple of years. And I hope that I can work across the aisle. This is an everybody issue. Most of us drive, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you probably are driving on these roads. So I have no doubt that I can work across the aisle. I don't have a concrete answer because I think this is a complex problem.
Pat Snyder, what should the state do to address the issue? And if reelected, how would you work with your legislative colleagues within the party and across the aisle to get it done?
Yeah, it might even be a situation where we need a task force to get into this because we do need a long-term solution. To go back, the problems began back in what you mentioned, 2005, 2007. When the transportation fund was money taken out of it to go to other locations. That inspired, when the Republicans got back into office, a constitutional amendment that said everything that the DOT gets in revenue stays in the DOT. Looking back in hindsight, they also took away the gas indexing. Right now, we're paying about 31 cents per gallon state tax. If indexing from 2007 would have stayed in, we'd be paying about 39 cents per gallon. A 5 cent increase in the tax would get about $133 million additional dollars per year for this. But the situation is much more than that. The new secretary, Dave Ross, was the former mayor of Superior, and he took over Superior, and it was deeply in the red. And he, before he left, put it back into the black. And I think we need to give Secretary Ross, and he's been working on it, a way to get more accountability with the DOT. We're seeing stories, I think just 2 days ago, about how they paid twice on Milwaukee Zoo interchange. I mean, this kind of accountability needs to be taken care of. Do we need some of these highway projects, or do we, push them on hold to get more of the maintenance that we need? And then, as you have mentioned, we have to get a long-term plan because what I'm doing doors, I came across a gentleman, he had his car plugged in. So by 2035, 2025, we're going to see higher fuel-efficient cars You know, my wife has a Prius. She's getting 51 miles per gallon. And electric cars, how are we going to be able to sustain funds for our transportation if that case? And we can't keep borrowing money, put it on a credit card. So a long-term solution is needed. We have to come across, and I have no problems working. In fact, I know that our colleagues, this is kind of like foster care. This is a thing that affects everybody. It's not a partisan issue. We have to get down and get something that agreed on. We had a good bill coming out of the Assembly. We just couldn't get the Senate to agree with us.
Shereen, do you have a follow-up question to that?
No, I think that it sounds like you both are kind of on the same page when it comes to this. And as you say, it is a bipartisan issue. Everybody drives. Everybody needs a solution. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of discussion.
And hopefully more money to the counties, that we can raise in the revenue. And I know when I'm at the doors, the one thing people would like to see here in Marathon County disappear is the wheel tax.
Well, that's a whole other show.
I know. I'm just relating what I hear. So if we can do a better job with the state, hopefully the county maybe will be able to relax that.
Well, another major issue regarding infrastructure here in Wisconsin is broadband, especially in the rural communities, and Marathon County is one of those rural communities. A large chunk of this county is rural. How do you plan to address, Allison, if you're elected, or Pat, if you're reelected, how do you plan to address this issue when it comes to broadband to the constituents of the 85th District? Allison?
Sure. Well, this is actually something that I'm working on at the county level. I sit on the Economic Development Committee, and tackling rural broadband is something that's come up in this session. So right now there was a study done almost 10 years ago throughout the county regarding this issue, talking to business leaders, regular community members, people in the agriculture industry, to really healthcare, education, kind of a variety of topics, industries, to see what their needs were for broadband, what they would like to see, what's holding them back currently. So a really comprehensive study was done about 10 years ago, but now we want to just kind of update that data a little bit, see if anything's changed, see if anything's maybe improved that we don't need to think about at this current time. So we're working on getting some focus groups started around a variety of those industries to, again, gauge the temperature of this issue throughout the county. So I'm pretty excited about that, to be working directly on this topic in Marathon County. And like you said, it is a really important infrastructure piece in our state, especially when we think education and commerce. I grew up in a very small town, population 1,200. So I certainly understand, it would be nice to work from home. And, you know, people of my generation, too, we are looking for a more flexible working environment, and working from home and having that internet access to still be able to communicate with our colleagues is something that's going to grow ever more important. So as far as the economy goes, you know, it's a huge issue. Healthcare, I think, is really fascinating, how broadband is going to affect the level of care in the future. There's so much that can be done just via online communication and access. And as our population, you know, retires and ages, and we get better at in-home care, I think that the broadband component is really going to play a big part. And then, of course, education. You really can't go to school anymore without internet access. It's just become something that's a necessity. I've heard of kids in the county that have to do their homework maybe at the county library, or they have to go to McDonald's and use their Wi-Fi to do their homework because they can't get access at their homes. So as far as education goes, too, just it's so necessary to have that access in your home to be able to study as you please and as you need to succeed in school. So very happy to be personally involved in this, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Pat Snyder, how does the state and county governments work together to address this issue?
Well, one of the things we've done is the legislature put a lot of money into the public-private partnerships. When I was still with Congressman Duffy as outreach director, the village of Weston is having trouble getting high-speed broadband out in their industrial park. And so we finally were able to get them teamed up with Charter Communications, and they were able to do it because we're missing out on business and technology coming into this area. Also was able to help Amherst Telephone teamed up with Bevent, and now they have broadband down there, so I was able to assist them in that neighborhood. So that's a good start. But you know what? I think that, and I've said this before, even before I was elected, that as a nation, we need to take a look at broadband and the internet and things to that nature the way that folks did in the 30s with electricity. I really think we need to get this on a major level across, because not only will it help education, medical, business, but tourism. There's a lot of folks that come up here in the summer from southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois that mom or dad would love to stay up here and work if they had the access to do it. There's tourist sites that, like near Cable, that when they get called, what's your high-speed internet? Well, we don't have it, and they, you know, don't book. So it is a very important economic tool as well as everything else that goes with it. We are a pilot program here in the state for testing out. It's called White Space, and it's areas that the TV bands that could be used to help isolated areas get high-speed internet. And we're a pilot with Microsoft off the West Coast, so that's something to look forward to.
Terrific. Tony from Tomahawk has a question regarding bonding and taxes. Tony, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I know politicians always value complete honesty, and I think it's way past time when we talk about budgeting that when somebody says, well, we're not going to raise taxes, we're just going to have bonding, that people be honest and say that's a future tax, and that's all it is. It is taxation. It's delayed future taxation, and it needs to be talked about all the time when budgets come up as a topic. I know one party really howls when they're not in power about the federal national debt, but, you know, that which, of course, is, in a sense, bonding. But the state, 20% of the Transportation Department budget is to pay interest on bonds. For God's sakes, we can't fix roads if this just keeps going up and up. So I would like both politicians to talk about how they're going to be honest about what bonding really is. Thank you.
Allison Leahy. Thanks, Tony.
Wow. I'm not sure that I can speak to this super in depth. I've never been a part of the budgeting process thus far. But I agree with you about transparency in government, transparency from the people who are creating policy and talking to you and telling you one thing and doing another. You know, I think we always look at taxes as a bad word, but honestly, it's the revenue that we need to keep our state moving, to keep programs that we care about going. As someone running for office, you're not supposed to talk about them out loud. so I do appreciate you bringing it up because it is important to speak honestly about what our state is spending, what we're borrowing, and what kind of debt we're leaving for the next generation. That's certainly something that I think about a lot as a 31-year-old. You know, these actions that are being taken right now might not be affecting the people in office right now, but they're certainly going to be affecting me and my family going forward. So I think we definitely need to be fiscally responsible and pragmatic and honest with ourselves and with our constituents about what we're borrowing and how we ever intend to pay that. Because, yeah, you're right. The constituents, the voters, the people of the state deserve that.
Pat Snyder.
Tony, great question, and I agree fully with you. Bonding is just a credit card. It was very popular and still is in a bit. It's gone down a lot in the last 6 years than what it was. But you're right, 22 cents out of the dollar, it goes to servicing the debt we have in transportation. And the budget was a little late last time because of this reason. In the assembly, we didn't want to borrow more. We didn't want to put more in the credit card. And we had a little bit of a disagreement with our fellows on the other side, and we finally came with a compromise. We did pay down some of the debt, Tony, which is good, and we want to continue to do that because, really, when you put things on a credit card, it looks good until you get the bill. And I want to get back to even Stevens when it comes to our transportation budget and be able to have a surplus so our roads are in good shape. But thanks for bringing it up, and I'll be honest about it all the time. You bet.
Voters in the 85th State Assembly District are 40 days away from electing their representative. The 85th is centered in Marathon County. It also includes the Aspirus Wausau Hospital Campus and the Wausau West Business Industrial Park. I'm Rick Ryer with Shereen Siewert. Stay tuned as we continue our conversation with Democrat Allison Leahy and Republican incumbent Pat Snyder. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio has been providing listeners access to their legislative candidates for more than 20 years. We hope these on-air discussions give you and the candidates the opportunity to connect one-on-one over important issues. I'm Rick Ryer with Shereen Siewert of the Wausau Pilot and Review. Today on Route 51, we talk with the candidates from the 85th State Assembly District. They face off in the November 6th general election. Republican incumbent Pat Snyder and Democrat Allison Leahy join us in the studio today. 800-780-9742 is the number to call. Share your thoughts with the candidates. We'll continue to take as many calls as we can during the time we have left. 800-780-9742. In our last segment, we'll ask the candidates about their perspectives on leadership and personal accomplishments. But first, a question on education.
So today, far too many students graduate from high school, and they still need remedial classes in college. We're hearing this from professors. We're seeing the data that shows that they're just not prepared. So what is your goal for true college readiness in the next 5 years? Pat, let's start with you.
Well, I think we're, first and foremost, having a daughter who's a fourth grade teacher is a pretty good resource for me and some of the things that are needed in our public education. But the districts I'm involved in, both Wausau and DC Everest, do an outstanding job at helping our kids get the education needed for college or, even in their vocational problem. Both the schools have fab labs. They have great voc ed programs. So I just think continuing to give them the resources they need, the $636 million that we were able to get into the budget for K through 12, $200 per year the first time, $204 the next. We need to continue that type of funding so the teachers can continue to do what they do best is teach. But if they, the thing is, when they contact me, superintendents, or my daughter and other her friends, teachers, to say what maybe resources they need to help improve that. They're dealing with kids that, compared to my time when I was growing up, are facing a lot of trauma in their life. They're coming from environments that have some homes where, mom and dad might be, they have issues. And so it takes a little more time and a little more special needs to be able to reach these kids and make sure that they're on the path for success as well. So just to be able to, as a state, to provide the tools and resources they need. But I think our teachers and our administrators should have the job of knowing what they want to do because they're the experts.
Great. Thanks. Allison, what's your goal for true college readiness in the next 5 years?
For sure. I agree that more funding is needed. We've seen historic cuts to the K through 12 and university systems in this state through Governor Walker and the Republican legislature. So I think it's imperative that we build up that funding again to what it should be. I think currently most schools are sitting at about a 2011 funding status. We're not near to where we should be for costs in 2018. So yes, obviously, when teachers have to purchase their own school supplies, when they have to crowdsource for school supplies, clearly they're not going to be able to devote the teaching time that they need. They're distracted too. They're working sometimes a part-time job or a second job to support themselves. So right there, without the proper funding, without the proper salaries, without their right to bargain and have more control over their careers, they're not going to be able to put the time in that's needed in the classroom, and that's a real problem. So definitely a proponent for higher education funding and also, as Pat said, just to encourage those programs that help kids succeed from the home to the classroom.
Back to the phones. Jerry from Wausau has a question on the gas tax.
Yes. Hello. Until about 3 years ago or so, when I renewed my license, car license, every year in December, I would pay $75. then suddenly it went up to $100 because the county put in a $25 surcharge, and they did that because the Republican legislature and the Republican governor refused to raise the gas tax. The gas tax, in my mind, is a user tax. And this surcharge is one that, you know, some senior citizen who uses their car maybe three times a week, go grocery shopping in the church on Sunday, they're paying the same 33.3% increase that some salesperson who drives 50,000 miles a year is paying. And it is so unfair. I mean, I cannot think of any tax in this country that is, or in this state too, that is any fairer than the gas tax. And I just can't understand. And I would like the candidates to comment on the issue of that surcharge and the fairness or unfairness of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Allison.
Sure. sorry about that. I think that was a great analogy that you made about someone who maybe is only using their car once a year versus a salesperson who is putting on 200,000 miles per year. It is unfair. For the record, I wasn't on the county board when the wheel tax was proposed and passed. But I know that was a difficult decision for that board to make. And I know that the reason that they ultimately passed it was because of lack of funding and a removal of a lot of local control at the county level. Since the Republicans have been in control since the 2011 legislature began, almost 190 instances of local control has been removed, and that includes the ability to levy taxes. So it is an issue. Thank you for bringing it up, and I look forward to working on it in the legislature.
Pat.
Jerry, I agree with you. I do see it as a user fee, and when we look at the transportation funding, all things are on the table because our roads need to be fixed and built. So I actually personally told the governor that 9 out of 10 people I talked with at the doors thought that increase would be a user fee. We just don't quite agree yet. But again, all things need to be on the table, and I think we will address that. So thanks, Jerry.
Pat Snyder, what accomplishments over the past session are you most proud of?
Well, being named co-chair with the Speaker's Task Force on Foster Care was tremendous. I worked with my colleague, Steve Doyle, a Democrat out of La Crosse area. We were able to have public hearings, be able to generate 13 bipartisan bills for foster care. 11 were signed in by the governor. I also was very proud. My first bill was Right to Try to get that through. Also worked with the Wausau Metro Strong. We got Sarah's Law through as well. But also passing the legislature, increased education, increased funding for the Medical College of Wisconsin so the residency program can stay sound and fit. And being able to actually personally work with a lot of folks to get legislation. The ideas and legislation come from the people of the 85th. So I look forward to doing more.
And Allison, what accomplishments over the past 2 to 3 years have prepared you for the state legislature should you win this election?
Well, you referenced the Wausau Makers Market earlier, and that's probably something that I'm most proud of that I've created in the last couple of years. My friend Alex and I started this market because we saw similar things happening in larger cities across the country, and we thought, why not Wausau? So it's been a wonderful opportunity to partner with local businesses. We really do the thing start to finish. We take applications from local artists and makers in the area. We accept applications. We prepare the venue. We really see it through start to finish. And that entrepreneurial spirit is something that I'm proud of and happy to continue.
All right. I do have a question. What do you find inconvenient about the confines of your own political party? What's inconvenient about being labeled a Republican or a Democrat? Pat?
That's a good question, Shireen. You saved the curveball for the end. I think the misnomer that people think that somehow Republicans don't care about people, and that's far from the truth. People are the most important things to me. I'm available to them. I'm very accessible to the folks. So I think that somehow that we don't care about education, health care, things to that nature is totally false. and I hate that getting labeled.
Right. Allison?
Honestly, I would say the fiscal responsibility is definitely frustrating. As we've seen in the last couple of decades, especially on the federal level, you can tell which parties have upped the deficit and which ones have taken it back into a surplus. So this idea that Democrats are tax and spend, totally false. You know, we are just as responsible with our money as anyone else. And I think it's important to note that, you know, we want to do the best work, the most work, the greatest good that we can with the money that we have. And we don't want to go overboard like anyone else.
All right.
That's all we have time for today. This is Route 51. I'd like to thank the candidates from the 85th Assembly District for joining us in the studio, Republican incumbent Pat Snyder and Democrat Allison Leahy. Thank you both for being here. Thank you as well to Shireen Seward of the WASA Pilot and Review. And thanks to our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, and to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, we'll bring you another candidate debate. Until then, we're heading out of town.